From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
The Michael Cohen plea deal continues to roil Washington and especially the White House, and Donald Trump changes his story in response. Plus, the president again attacks his own attorney general, Jeff Sessions, who this time fires back in a public statement. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal. Here to talk about these subjects are my peerless colleagues, Bill McGurn. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Paul.
And Kim Strassel. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Paul.
So let's start with Michael Cohen fallout. And we now have had a couple of days of reaction to the plea deal and the initial, typical Beltway meltdown over the fact that Cohen had cut a plea deal with the Justice Department, the U.S. Attorney in the Southern District of New York, that implicates the president in a campaign finance violation. So, Kim, as you've sort of had a couple of days to distill the impact of this, let's break it down first legally and then politically. What about legally? Where do you think the president's jeopardy is?
So in my conversations with lawyers, a lot of them have said that this could be a very hard legal case to make were it to go ahead. I think for a couple of reasons. You talk to people who are campaign finance experts, and they note that, you know, this question of whether or not Trump knew of the payments is one thing, whether or not he's lied in any forum in which he could be held to account to that. But the campaign finance violations supposedly themselves are hard because you have to prove that the president took an action with the intent of influencing an election. Now, the prosecutors, when they made that plea deal with Cohen, made certain to use those words in it. But that's a plea deal. It was never put in front of a jury. And I think the issue here is, can you really make the argument that Trump did this only for the election, that he would not taken such actions, given his long history of issues like this in the past, otherwise to protect himself and protect his reputation and his family. And I think that's a much harder case to make, and one that people have had a lot of difficulty trying in the few times it's ever been put forward in juries before.
Yeah, that legal interpretation is confirmed by my conversations with Michael Mukasey, the former attorney general, also David Rivkin, our colleague, and Bradley, our frequent contributor, rather, lawyer in Washington, and Bradley Smith, who is the expert on campaign finance law, who you and I both know, Kim. I think that the interesting thing, though, politically, is why did the Justice Department strong arm, as I think it did, Cohen to implicate the president in this, if it would have been the kind of charge that would be hard to make. And it seems that maybe they're making a bigger case, trying to make a larger case here, or maybe they're trying to send a message to Congress that, hey, even if we can't charge the president with a crime while he's the sitting president, and in fact, that's what the Justice Department rules suggest, they cannot charge a sitting president, then, hey, you guys can take it up as an impeachable, a possible impeachable offense after the election, Bill.
Yeah, I think that's always been the danger. Look,
you mean for Trump?
For Trump, look, with his attorney, presumably his attorney knows a lot of Donald Trump's dealings. Remember, his office was raided and so forth. So there might be a lot of different things there that could be embarrassing. But we go back to the fundamental point that the House needs just a simple majority to impeach a president. High crimes and misdemeanors is not really defined. So it's really whatever the House decides it is. And if the Democrats get the House, they will try. I think they'll actually have a little more trouble than they think getting a majority, but they're certainly going to try to impeach. And that's the proper venue for removing a president. And it's always been the threat against Donald Trump. And it's the threat of this midterm because history is against him. Some of the polls are against him. And a lot of the trends are against him.
Do you think, Kim, that the president understands the degree of trouble he is in potentially on impeachment if Democrats take the House? And I say that because I think Bill is right. My own view is that we're headed towards an impeachment fight. Certainly, if Democrats take the House, they will, in my view, try to impeach him, even if they say, no, that's not what we're trying to do. But eventually, they will get there. and they'll start the machinery up and running of investigations, and it'll pile up arguments that their base will insist are impeachable. But the president himself seems to lash out. But if you really want to avoid getting into deeper trouble, the answer is get everything out on the table. He's changed this and even, dare I say, as unlikely as it might be, apologize. Just say to the public, look, here's why I did what I did. Because he's now changed his statement on the payments. He first said, well, I didn't know about them. Now he says, well, I knew about them after they were made. Now he said, okay, well, they were coming out of my pocket. I thought, well, now we know that in fact it came out of a corporate entity, at least according to the criminal guilty plea by Cohen. All of this stuff, plus the new reports of immunity agreements that have been gone to Mr. Pecker of the National Enquirer, who participated in the payments. This is the sort of thing that is going to keep bubbling up and giving him trouble, when the way to put it behind him is come clean.
Well, I think the only thing I can say about this case with absolute certainty is that Donald Trump will not apologize. That is not in his nature, whether it would be good for him or not. And you make a compelling case for why it would be the right way to go. But that also gets back to your initial question of, does he recognize the peril he is in for impeachment? And I think it's almost a question to the side, because he is a scrapper. He is a fighter. It is his predetermined course to lash back out at anybody who makes an accusation against him. I think, in addition to apologizing, in addition to disclosing everything, getting it all out, he'd be far better off talking, letting the special counsel do what he does and making his own case to the public about the benefits that he has brought to the country via the policies of his presidency in terms of the economy, deregulation, tax reform. Are you feeling better today than you were 2 years ago? And if so, you really don't want those Democrats to take over the House and get rid of me. But again, just by the basis of how the president has operated so far in 2 years, we have a pretty long record at this point. That seems unlikely.
So you're left with a kind of a pitched battle here, and trench warfare on all of these individual legal issues, and with the president appealing to his base, believe me, and the prosecutors and Democrats attempting to say, "See, you told that lie, you told that lie, you told that lie." One of the things that Bill Clinton did very well to survive impeachment was he focused on his job, and in focusing on his job, He directed the public to say, you know what, he may have lied under oath, but it's not worth impeaching him because we kind of like the way things are going. And that's the ultimate defense of a president from impeachment is the public. Public saying, we don't want you to do that.
Right. Well, I think he had a couple of advantages. He was a Democrat, and the press is just not as hard on Democrats. And remember all the things, all those people then saying it was just about sex. Where are they now? We're not hearing that argument.
Saying it's just about the law.
But I think if Donald Trump, you just wonder, I mean, it's sort of silly speculation, because Donald Trump fights and he punches back if you punch him, or if he thinks you punched him, he's going to punch back. But you just wonder if he had spent the last couple of months on the trail just talking exclusively about the growth in the economy, what that means in human terms for the college kid who now has a job, the dad who just got a job, right? He's been off the unemployment rolls, different dreams families have. People don't know that story. That's one of the sad things. The Fox poll showed that Obamacare was 50% popular, and I think the Republican tax cuts that sort of kicked off this boom only at 41%. That's part of a sale. It's part of an effort to deny the results, but also part of a sales failure.
We're talking about the Michael Cohen plea fallout and the president's jousting with his Justice Department, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Spend time with Alexa? You can now listen to Potomac Watch on your Amazon device. Just enable the skill and ask Alexa to play Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Bill McGurn and Kim Strassel. And the president is one way he's lashing back at the Paul Manafort convictions and the Michael Cohen plea deal is by attacking his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, who has recused himself from the Russia probe, but not from supervising the Cohen investigation, for example, which is was referred to by Robert Mueller, the special counsel, but taken up by the U.S. attorney in New York. The Justice Department has also indicted recently two Republican congressmen within 90 days of an election, which is in my personal view highly suspect and violates internal justice policy. Chris Collins of upstate New York and Duncan Hunter Jr. of California. Merits aside on whether these indictments are warranted or not, they could have been made before the primaries in both of those states when the parties could have picked a new candidate. Now it's very difficult to get either name off the ballot, probably impossible, giving the Democrats a chance to gain two more seats. Trump, I think this has upset Donald Trump. But ultimately, Kim, what do you make of the continuing assault on Sessions in public, and is it smart?
No, it's counterproductive, I think, for a couple of reasons. One, it's just actually wrong on the merits to call on Jeff Sessions to engage in specific prosecutions. There are a couple of ways to look at the Justice Department. It's not a part of the Constitution. It was created by Congress. But at the same, and obviously any attorney general broadly follows the policies that are set out by presidents and their administrations. But it's a line that you cross when you go and you tell and direct your attorney general to specifically target or not target certain people for prosecutions. And so it looks bad. And Donald Trump has again crossed a line, one that he shouldn't have. But secondly, this is a pure political reality. Were he to fire Jeff Sessions, running him down doesn't help anyone, doesn't help his own administration. Were he to fire him, he doesn't have the votes in the Senate right now to reconfirm a new attorney general, and the place would be even more in a state of disarray without an attorney general. So, Ben Sasse, the senator from Nebraska, Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, have both said that they would be loath to vote or would not vote for any person that Donald Trump named as a replacement if he fired Jeff Sessions over issues like this. So is not helping him.
But can you have an attorney general who a president can a president tolerate an attorney general who he loathes? I mean, is that a healthy state of affairs? And shouldn't – I mean, we've always believed in executive power here at the Journal and the fact that a president of left or right should get the people he wants to fill out his cabinet. Now, shouldn't Trump have the same authority at the Justice Department?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He does have that authority. And look, at a certain point, it might be worthwhile exercising it on the very basis, too. Look, whether or not Jeff Sessions should have recused himself, he did. And that has left a vacuum at the top of the Department of Justice on the biggest issue we are dealing with today, which is this Russia question, the special counsel and everything else. And, look, in my mind, the best thing that would happen is after the midterms, when Republicans potentially have an even greater majority in the Senate, Jeff Sessions ought to recognize this issue, too, and step down.
Yeah, I'm sort of amazed Jeff Sessions has stayed in a job where he's so publicly berated all the time. I think Donald Trump has legitimate beefs about a weakened attorney general at the top. But I don't think he's doing himself any favors the way he's doing. And I agree with Kim. The reality is that he's here through the end of the year and through next year for different reasons, whether it's because they couldn't get a new one voted in So the second question is, just because someone has a problem, I mean, in our system, just because someone has the power doesn't always mean that it's prudent to exercise it. I mean, the way everything is framed, the way the framers put it, they want you to weigh the cost and benefits of everything. And that's a healthy instinct. And right now, it's unclear what Donald Trump wants. And I know we sound like a broken record, but going back to, he could help himself a lot by declassifying. He's complaining that they're not looking into the bad behavior of his opponents. At the same time, he refuses to declassify the documents that might tell us what these opponents did. And at the same time, we're, 70-something days out from an election that might put Democrats in and an end to all the congressional inquiries that we've had.
An end to the congressional inquiries of any wrongdoing at the FBI or the Justice Department during campaign 2016. Those will be shut down rapidly. The investigations of Trump will continue and even escalate into an extraordinary
degree. I think something you said before, too, in likening Clinton, I think if the Democrats win and they begin impeachment proceedings, even if they do impeach, I don't think he's going to go down. I think they would have a lot harder time getting the 17 votes they need in the Senate to convict. And we could be in for the kind of Clinton years where just a defiance from the White House and bitterness all around because of it.
That would be my call, I think, my prediction. And just on that point, Kim, we have this week loud protests from Nancy Pelosi, Dick Durbin, all kinds of Democratic columnists / strategists in the media, other Democrats saying, please, we're not interested in impeachment. Not a priority. Not something we have to wait and see what happens. I think this is for the Guinness World Record books of political insincerity, which is saying something. I mean, yes, they don't want the election to become a referendum on impeachment because they worry that it could boomerang on them. I don't know if that's true or not. But it is certainly true that once they win, if they do so with any kind of a comfortable margin, and I don't mean a big one. I'm talking about maybe even 5 to 10 seats. They will start the investigative machinery, and I think it will grind into a position where they will be very, very hard-pressed not to at least vote on impeachment. And it's going to be hard for me to find a Democrat somewhere who will say, you know what? I think I want to give Donald Trump a pass.
You are, if anything, incredibly kind, calling it political insincerity. Most people would say that is a lie. Of course, they're going to commence impeachment proceedings because they just have no choice but to do it. You don't spend 2 years claiming that the president was elected illegitimacy, that he canoodled with the Russians, that he is corrupt, that he has undermined the rule of law. And then when you finally have the opportunity, especially with your progressive wing clamoring for you to do so, suddenly turn around and say, no, we're not going to go there. But I think this gets back, interestingly, Paul, to the point you were making earlier about the importance of public sentiment on this. This is an acknowledgement and awareness by Democrats that there's a lot of people out there in the public that don't necessarily want to see House Democrats go down that road. That they said, look, we elected a guy for 4 years. We don't necessarily want to be part of this drama. And that's why they're keeping it so quiet. And it's another signal to the White House that this is their best bet. It's the way they should go. Alert everyone to the benefits of Trump policies and different factions and sound the alarm that impeachment is coming and try to get the public on your side.
Bill, is it smart to do what some Republicans are starting to do? And I'm thinking of Carlos Curbelo, the Republican congressman from southern Florida in the Miami-Dade region. Tough district. Hillary Clinton carried it. I think it's a +6 Democratic district or close to that in terms of voter registration. And he's trying to survive, and he's starting to criticize Donald Trump and raise questions about the Cohen plea deal and say it troubles him and so on. Is this a smart way to go?
Well, I think it depends on the district where you are. I think what you have to do is be who you are, like, consistent with what you've said before. And also, you can't look weak. You have to do it from a position of strength of whatever your positions are. Now, in New Jersey, that's going to be different from North Dakota, right? The general milieu. So I think if you just kind of hop on board, it's not going to help you. I'll be curious to see how many do opt for this and who wins and who doesn't buy it. But I don't think there's anything wrong with the president, with the congressman distancing themselves on certain policy areas or different things. But I just don't think they can do it out of weakness and just echo their opponent. Because, look, if it becomes between a contest between who can criticize Donald Trump more, the Democrats going to win, right?
The media is also pounding on Republicans. Right. Start impeachment, start investigative machinery going on Donald Trump. That's from our friends at the other newspapers, Kim. Again, this is aimed mainly, I think, at demoralizing Republican voters and so that Democrats enhance their chances of taking the Congress back. There isn't much more that the Congress can actually do on the Russia question than they're already doing, with two investigations underway in the House and the Senate process and the Justice Department. So I'm not quite sure what they want Republicans to do other than to get up and pound their chest and say, I agree with the Washington Post.
Of course, this is a pressure campaign, and yes, designed to demoralize voters because they know nothing's going to happen in the Senate and the House, and for good reason. As you said, they already have investigations ongoing in Russia. They've had enough difficulty getting information from the Department of Justice in those alone, but more importantly, because the charges that came out of the Cohen plea deal and have no relation on Russia, and in fact, most Republicans do view them as utterly derivative to the point of the special counsel, who, of course, referred this matter to the New York prosecutors in the first place. So I think there's a bit of umbrage there. And also, from a practical perspective, I was speaking to a Senate investigator just the other day who pointed out that they've been very handicapped from getting any more information from a lot of these witnesses about Donald Trump or otherwise, because the special counsel has been all over the place. You know, the Senate had a hearing scheduled with Michael Cohen. The minute his place was raided, the lawyer yanked that interview. And you've seen that with Manafort and others as well, too. So long as Bob Mueller is running around the place, it becomes very difficult for Congress to get some details on some of these other issues.
Yeah, that's a fascinating point, Kim. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Kim. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with what no doubt will be further dramas in the presidency of Donald J. Trump. Thanks for listening.